So welcome to the instruction period. Today we'll come to the final two instructions in mindfulness of the Dharma from the Anapanasati Sutta. But first of all, let's just sit together doing simple mindfulness of breathing, or if you like, just breathing in, liberating the heart mind. Breathing out, liberating the heart mind. So let's just begin with sitting in freedom itself. So yesterday, Asaf led us through the contemplation on impermanence that was followed by the contemplation of fading away, where we began to notice that which fades. And the next instruction is a contemplation of cessation, or the endings of things. We rather easily see the arising of something, but we very often don't notice the endings, that our anger has ended, our frustration has ended, our annoyance has ended, our difficulty has ended. This moment has ended, and so on. So this is how we practice. We're really contemplating and knowing for ourselves the endings. And of course, this will also lead to some reflection and contemplation of the ending of this body, given its impermanent nature, the ending of the mind, the ending of our attachments, the ending of our clinging, and so on. So let's see right now what comes forth when we contemplate cessation or the endings of things. The instruction is breathing in, contemplating cessation, breathing out, contemplating cessation. So I'm curious about your direct experience. Did anyone have a direct experience of cessation? Yes. I am not. Yes. He said, what is I even? So the I, when we cease clinging to it, dissolves and ceases. Yes. Okay, so you didn't experience the cessation of anything. Is that what you're saying? What is there to cease? When we really look, when we really look, sometimes we get the sense not of the I ending and ceasing, but rather the unceasing. We discover that which doesn't have beginning and end. We can have a whisper of this, a taste of this. So, in relative terms, we see the ordinary self arises and ceases. Yet, when we look sometimes with the meditator's mind, with awareness, we get a touch or a whisper or a knowing of something deeper, of something more, the knowing of that which is unceasing, doesn't begin and end, doesn't come and go. Anyone else? A direct experience, yes. 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 So in nature, the cessation of the flower being attached to the tree, and then of course the falling, and then the falling ceases as the flower hits the earth. And then the flower begins to disintegrate, come to an end, becomes compost, becomes the earth. So in nature, we see this process of endings and renewal. The flower became the nourishment and the compost for the garden, and so on. Was somebody here. Yes. She said her first thought was about her parents. Yes. Ah, sadness and guilt. Popped into consciousness. When you stayed with it, what happened? When we see the sadness, you could feel it, the tender, poignant kind of quality that happens. And then, of course, the I thought comes in. The thinking about the parents. And as soon as we start thinking about what very often comes is guilt, or I should see them more often, or whatever it is that we are thinking. So our practice is also, it's basically to see the cessation we're really interested in is the cessation of desire, the cessation of the mind that wants. And often when the self comes with all the thinking about, we are wanting something. We are wanting something to be different. We're wanting our experience to be different, wanting our relationship to be different, and so on. And so cessation is also the cessation of clinging to the mind that wants our experience to be otherwise. Because when we're caught in wanting mind, we suffer. The guilt comes. And of course we can explore this and see into it and let that go as well. We see also the cessation of the habit mind that feels guilty. Anyone else? Oh, yes, here. She said she had a feeling and strong knowing of consciousness that is there. That is, yes. Oh, so she said it feels like a sense of consciousness which isn't dependent upon anything, isn't clinging to anything. And then the thought, the I thought came with, what happens when I die? How can this thing be turned off? How can it be turned off? Ah, you're talking now about the death of this body. Yes. The freedom that's unbound is simply unbound, not interested in you and me. Freedom is, and it's, we know the freedom when the sense of self ceases, when we cease clinging to it, more accurately put, when we cease clinging to the I. There is the liberation, there is the heart and mind of non-clinging. There is that which is unceasing and is there whether we are or not. This unfolding universe is extraordinary. It doesn't depend on my life or yours. We're rather insignificant. We're just part of the totality of this freely unfolding, extraordinary world and universe. And we can get a sense of that which is beyond the ego, beyond I, me, and my. So the cessation is the cessation of clinging to self, to me, to I. We see how easily it pops up. We have a little taste of the freedom, and then the I comes in wanting to analyze and work out and interpret and question. Just one more. Here. The ceasing of the breath. What remains? What's left? Yes. She said she was with her father when he died, when he took his very last breath, and she was with him with love and freedom. Yes, and? Ah, then the thought came, I can be with everything that is ceasing in me with that love. Indeed. Yes. Then we know the unceasing, and the unceasing is expressed through love. Love is the expression of that. Boundless love is the expression of that. Beautiful. Let's go on. Now we come to the final instruction. And the final instruction, of course, is the really big one. And the instruction is relinquishment, or letting go. And really, in a way, it's the key thing. If you remember only one thing from the retreat, the Dharma and the teachings are about letting go of clinging, the cessation of clinging. And of course, when clinging ceases, consciousness opens out and we know the extraordinary freedom that's possible. So rather than that being some kind of theory, let's practice now. And it's a contemplation of relinquishment, but hopefully it's also a very direct experience of letting go or letting be. Sometimes when something arises, if we just let it be, we see this kind of flow through the heart and mind, and then we see the fading away, we see the cessation or the ending of it, and then there's the deliciousness that comes with relinquishment. Let's try. The instruction is, breathing in, contemplating relinquishment, breathing out, contemplating relinquishment. So I'm interested in a report of a direct experience of non-clinging. Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay, so first of all, there was a memory of this morning looking out at the mountain and seeing great openness or experiencing great openness. And then the falling away of the one who wants to claim and own and have. So realizing, oh, I don't need to lock my room or worry that someone's going to take anything from me. And then came a shift, the dizziness, which sometimes when the self-view, the self-idea is shaken up, we have this shift and change that happens, and it can be sometimes experienced as dizziness. And then what happened? The self began to coalesce. The possibility of not claiming anything as me and mine is there. The possibility of the knowing of vast openness is there. Beautiful. Yes, a metaphor for I don't have to claim and own and have and make mine. Beautiful. So interesting. Yes. 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 Ah. Yes. Ah. Beautiful. Okay, so it started with the body and there was relaxation. And then it went to the emotional world and there was relaxation. Then it went to the mind and the mind just became quiet. This beautiful silence of the mind that Rennie was speaking of last night. So then the mind was silent and empty of any clinging. And when the mind is silent and empty of any clinging, sometimes great joy arises. So this is the joy that isn't dependent upon conditions. It's the joy that is unconditioned, that naturally comes forth. Because it's the natural quality of the heart-mind. The heart-mind of non-clinging is expressed as joy, as love, as compassion, as equanimity. These are the qualities of the natural heart-mind. When we cease clinging, we know that. We can directly experience it. Beautiful. Yes, at the back. Yes. Okay. Ah, so the phrase, I must be successful, I want to be successful, this is the desire for success. Then there was the letting go of that. And then the desire ends. And then there's peace, relaxation, openness, the unproblematic. When we cease clinging to that which the mind wants, wanting to be successful, and wanting to be successful is such a conditioning in society, of course, and there's lots of pressure to become other than we are. And then, of course, we get caught in the duality of success and failure and all the views and opinions and stress that comes with that. Yet, when we just let go of the desire to be successful, the thought, there's ease just right there, very quickly. You said it's not dramatic. If you understand that insight, it's totally and utterly life-changing. So when we have even these quite brief, small experiences, we have to understand what the experience is telling us. It's telling us how to live. It's telling us we can live with peace. It's telling us we can unbind ourselves from the wanting mind, the one who wants to achieve, acquire, be successful, be acknowledged, and so on. Good news. Yes. Relinquishment, letting go. Ah, let the word be. Yes. Yeah, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Okay, so a pain in the face came. Yes, at the beginning, and then the sensations in the face, the unpleasant sensations in the place to face rather. Faded. So be like the cat that's lying down in the sun. Yes, just. Why not? Okay. Anybody else? Yes. Just the now. Ah. Okay. So what is it? I didn't catch the first part. What is it that's already happened? Ah, yes. The letting go has already happened. Ah, okay. The moment already happened. The past was past, and there was just the now with openness. Yes? Beautiful. So this is being not being caught in time. It's the relinquishment of being caught in the past or in the future. We can also, of course, be caught in the now, but what we need to do is just what you did, which is bring non-clinging awareness to this moment. Now. Yes. Timeless. Ah. Yes. Yes. So when there's the cessation of clinging and grasping and wanting, when there's the cessation of desire, there's also the cessation of the self idea. There's the cessation of being bound to the past or the future. There's the knowing of the timelessness, just this moment, and consciousness opens out to extraordinary freedom. And we can touch it in just a few minutes. Yes. She said, when I was breathing, she said at the end of the breath, she felt the cessation and her whole body was melting. Ah, she could take the power to melt and melt attachments in her life. Bravo. Go for it. Yes. Melt those attachments. Wonderful, wonderful. So, with just softness and melting and softening, the attachments subside, they loosen, the grip of the mind loosens. In one of the indigenous languages in Australia, the word to love is actually to make soft. And I had this wonderful Indigenous woman on the retreat. She used to come to my meditations. She's a writer and she's totally fabulous, but she's very feisty and fiery and, of course, angry about many things that have happened in the past in Australia and how Indigenous people have been treated. And then she said to me, she said, is all I have to do to love, to make soft? And it was such a transformation for her that she realized that the rage and the anger could just be made soft. And that was really to love, and that had the capacity to transform all of her relationships. Such a beautiful woman. And I loved her fieriness and feistiness. It's wonderful. And that's actually one of the things I love about Israel too, the passion. I love the passion. It's great. Okay, anybody else? Yes. A fail? Yes, go ahead. So you were endeavoring to breathe in and contemplate letting go. Yes. 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 Okay. Okay, so sometimes we begin to let go and we have, all sorts of lovely letting go experiences in a few minutes. And then we come to something that's rather difficult to let go of. It's the habit from the past. It's often an overwhelming emotion. In this case, it's some kind of shame. And the shame comes when we think that there's something wrong with us, or we've done the wrong thing. And so then we have to look at that and to look at it with really kind eyes, to look at it with love, to look at it and say, sometimes it's a deep thing from the past, something from childhood where we've internalized a sense of shame or something is wrong with me. You know, some people think they're unlovable even. So the shame can be explored and seen, but it needs to be met with kindness and love. And then you can unpack it and see what the beliefs are that keep the shame in place. So it's a difficult thing because it feels so deep and so painful. So my encouragement to you is just meet that with love and kindness. And it might have been for you in the past some kind of defense mechanism or protection, but now it doesn't need to be there. You can just open out into being rather free of all of that which happened in the past. So this is our task, really. We see what is unresolved in our life. We see what needs attention. And we just bring the kindness and the love to it. And then it too begins to cease and fade and fall away. Yes. A direct experience of cessation. Okay. Letting go, rather. Yeah. Yes. So no calm, heart pounding, breathing in and out. Okay. Ah, okay. Okay, so you saw that that was added to the reality. So paradoxically, there was the story and the heart pounding, the arising and beginning and ending of the sensation, and at the same time, a knowing of something else, like free falling. Okay, okay. So sometimes when we let go, we have this wonderful sensation of we can let go of all of the stories we bring to life. We can see through them. We can see through that which we overlay reality with. We see how we project the I thought with the events of the past and our experiences and memories and imagination onto that which is naturally unbound. Yes. Sorry, you were like a vessel and every word. Yes. Ah, oh, okay. Yes. So beautiful. The experience of hearing the words resonate so deeply and then feeling so much love and joy being here with each of you. Yes. Yeah. So what ceases is our sense of the separate self. You were describing the interconnected nature of things. And when we feel connected, there's rather naturally the love and joy.
what ceases then, what we let go of, is I, me, and my. The whole construction of self. Ajahn Buddhadasa would say, letting go is seeing the emptiness of self. It's letting go of the self view. Letting go of, he didn't use the word self-referencing, but to make everything about us. And he'd say, give it back. Throw it back. It's not yours. Yes. You haven't practiced metta for a long time? Yes. Yes. Okay, so the metta, when you're talking about doing the metta meditations in the evening, and when the phrase said, may I be well and happy, or may I be at peace, may I be filled with love, and so on, what happened? Uh-huh. Do you think that love doesn't include you? Okay. Sometimes we have the view that it's easy to love other people, but not ourselves. And metta is selfless. And I'm wondering whether you're struggling with the whole notion of the cessation of the self and the whole construct of self. When we say, may I be well and happy, may I be filled with love, we're referring to the love that's unconditional, boundless, that includes everybody, and the everybody in all things also includes us. Did you feel the love in the metta? Not. Not about yourself. Okay. Have you had on the retreat a feeling of love? Yes. Okay. Just tell me quickly. Describe the moment of the feeling of love. Ordinary love? No? Ah, you miss your children and you immediately feel that great love. Yes. So love is available to you. You know love. Love doesn't make a detour around you. Okay? Love that's boundless is unstoppable. It's everywhere. There's plenty for all of us. We just have to drop the idea that I don't understand it, or I'm unlovable, or I don't know love, or have the conflict with the self idea. So when we have those moments of real love, really appreciate them, really see that there's great beauty in that and there's great freedom in it. Let's just sit. So in our practice, we see the end of clinging to desire, the end of clinging to the I thought. And when we grasp nowhere, we touch into that which is unbound, unceasing. And then the fires of discontent, difficulty are cooled. One of the meanings of nibbana or freedom is to cool off. So when our desires are cooled, when our attachments cease and end, we know the love that's soft. We know the love that we can touch. We directly know peace. So thank you over the days to all those who shared the very natural wisdom that's around the room. And we can really see and listen and hear from other people. We can't have all the experiences ourselves, but we can understand from the experience of another. So my thanks to you for participating. It's always a joy for me to hear the unfolding experiences because they're so sincere and authentic and quite exquisite. And we're rather fortunate that we can actually explore in this way because it gives us a chance to deepen our own inquiry.